With a look at Radio Cayman's local sports, I'm Dionne Anglin. The Cayman Islands cycling community is coming together to pay tribute to Perrondime, a dedicated cyclist whose life was tragically cut short by a drunk driver. In his honor, friends, athletes, and supporters will embark on a special ride on May 4th, retracing the journey he began that Monday morning, ensuring his ride is completed in spirit. Starting at AA Rubis in Red Bay at 6 a.m., the group will cycle to Bodden Town, where a moment of silence will be observed near the crash site. From there, the ride will continue at a relaxed pace through East End, allowing cyclists to reflect on Per's passion for sport and wellness. Those unable to complete the full loop will have the option to shortcut to Northside Gas Station via Franksound, where the group will regroup before returning to Georgetown. I spoke with the Cayman Cycling President, Mr. Daniel Cummings, today, who says beyond honoring Per's memory, the ride serves a greater purpose, advocating for safer roads and stronger protections for cyclists in Cayman.
What immediate actions can be taken to improve cycling safety in the Cayman Islands, and how can the community support these efforts?
Yeah, I think there's a number of initiatives that I think we can have. I mean, we're obviously at a crossroads here when it comes to kind of our transportation and infrastructure. You know, it's no secret that a lot more people have picked up cycling since COVID. There's been an influx of e-bikes and people using green transport to get to work. But obviously, this has brought on some challenges. You know, congestion. And just, you know, more interactions with cyclists, with vehicles on the road. And, you know, we don't want cyclists to feel vulnerable. So I think there's definitely some things we can do. First thing, a 3-foot safe passing law. This type of thing, there's some variation of this in most large nations in the world, a 1 meter or 1.5. Obviously, in Cayman, we have challenges with narrow roads. So that's not always, you know, possible. But as a general rule, a 3-foot kind of safe passing law, you know, would be a great start. Just we regularly encounter vehicles coming very, very close, sometimes even nipping cyclists' arms for no reason at all. So the other part would be, the next one would probably be a vulnerable road user protection. So basically applying protections to cyclists, pedestrians, you know, of all shapes and sizes, where, you know, if there is an infraction, that there is a duty of care to that, and they can be prosecuted through whatever means. Another part, which, you know, we feel would help, is the mandatory inclusion of cycling safety in driver education. So maybe, you know, having a bit more emphasis in a driving test, or when driving instructors are given, really give them materials to educate, because I think a lot of times, it's not always that someone is being, you know, malicious in their attempt. I think, especially for, you know, the racing cyclists or our really fast groups, sometimes people can misjudge the speed of cyclists. You know, we're going 25, 30, over 30 miles an hour sometimes. And I don't think everybody's kind of used to having bikes come at them that fast. And just knowing what to do in those situations would be great. And then, you know, maybe a bit more just awareness and information around just general cycling, the benefits of that and what it means by you doing your part as a motorist and cyclists doing their part to make sure that they're riding and obeying the road laws. If we want the cars to do the same, we need to do that. So probably more of a public awareness campaign as well to be able to help.
Has there been any progress in discussions with local authorities regarding stricter regulations or infrastructure improvements for cyclists?
Not yet. I mean, obviously, the Perrondime's fortunate passing was a wake-up call for everybody. And, you know, that has really, it was something we dealt with always and has been put forward to the police. But obviously, it hasn't always been a priority. But, you know, everyone seems to be making it a priority now. So we do actually have meetings set up with the police department and the Ministry of Transport to discuss the issue and for them to, you know, they're eager to hear our views on kind of these similar things. What are some of these initiatives that we could reach out to them with help for?
Awesome. What message do you hope this tribute ride that you guys are having sends to both cyclists and motorists about road safety and mutual respect?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, again, just the fact that, you know, we all have, you know, every sport we do, you know, all of us have played a lot of sports and you know, we want to go home after doing what we do. You know, the fact that we shouldn't have to worry, go on a bike ride and worry if we get going to get home or not. I mean, that's a crazy thought to think about, but people genuinely now seem to be a bit spooked, you know, around it. And, you know, it seems to be that these things have kind of come in a bunches. So, I mean, you know, we want to make sure that people are aware that cyclists come in, you know, your next door neighbor, your cousin, your brother, all these people can be riding a bike. And, you know, just to take that little extra time and that little extra caution. I mean, the unfortunate incidents over the weekend may not have been solved by a road safety campaign, but I think the day-to-day interaction that we face and have to deal with on a daily basis can be helped by just a little bit more awareness and compassion for sharing the road.
Very true. And how can Mr. Undheim's legacy inspire long-term changes in cycling advocacy and awareness here in Cayman?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously it's a real tragedy that, you know, it took his passing to elevate the conversation. But if something good can come out of that, is that, you know, that conversation is now on everybody's, the forefront of everybody's mind. And hopefully that means that'll lead to some constructive building of new laws and new ways of thinking about interacting with cyclists and pedestrians and people on the road. So it raises awareness and, you know, provides a platform for change. Then, you know, I think that's pretty much the best case we can hope for.
Awesome. All the best with this. And is there anything, any last words that you would like to make mention of that I may not have asked you, but you'd like the public to get a hold of?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just, again, reinforcing that, you know, you know, we're all out there doing this for fitness and you know, we want to make sure that we're safe on the roads. I mean, so much of the incidents that we encounter are unnecessary and really just take that extra bit of time. I mean, the minute you take overtaking somebody is not worth somebody's life or, you know, a serious injury or accident. You know, I mean, these are multiple times a week that they've had very, very close calls that a second either way could have made the difference. And in groups, you take down one cyclist, you might take down six. So just take that little bit of extra care, just slow down, give a few feet of width, and everybody will go home safely and sound.
The cycling and triathlon community remains steadfast in its commitment to ensuring that tragedies like this never happens again. With renewed calls for justice and awareness, they hope to inspire lasting change in road safety measures. May Per Undheim's legacy remind us of the importance of respect, vigilance on the roads, and unity in sport. May his ride continue in the hearts of all who strive for a safer future. That's it for Radio Cayman's Local Sports for this evening. I'm Dion Anglin.